ABC Radio Australia.
Well, there's been a sudden and significant change at the top of Prime Minister James Marape's government in Papua New Guinea. And with Parliament to again sit today, a day after the former Prime Minister was requested to move to the opposition, the political drama may not yet be all over. Now, it's all a continuation of the political chaos from earlier this year that eventually saw James Marape replace Peter O'Neill as leader of the government, but not before he'd moved to the opposition and then essentially moved back to the government again to be voted in as PM. In the last 24 hours, though, Mr. Marape has appointed an opposition MP, Ian Lyngstucky, to the role of Treasurer. It comes at an important time for PNG as the new government says it's focused on fixing the country's struggling economy and propping up its budget. Mr. Lyngstucky is now the third former opposition MP to be handed a position within the PNG cabinet, also known as the National Executive Council. Now, this reshuffle also came just 24 hours after the former Treasurer, Sam Basil, had sat down with his Australian counterpart for talks in Port Moresby about the state of the country's finances and how Australia might be able to assist. So what happens now? Well, here is the newly appointed Treasurer, Mr. Lyngstucky, talking about his priorities.
May I thank the Prime Minister and coalition partners and government for inviting both myself and a very competent group in the opposition to join you. I'm in the process of finalising a very, very competent economic advisory team, but we cannot finalise that until we determine just how deep the economic hole that we now adopt to take over in this country. So we're going to need just a little bit of time, everyone.
Ian Lyngstucky, they're the new PNG Treasurer. Well, as part of the reshuffle, Prime Minister James Marape sacked the National Planning Minister. He'd been or is a member of Peter O'Neill's political party, PNC. So it appears to be a tactic to clear the decks and have Mr. Marape be able to present his government as a different one to that of Peter O'Neill. He's also encouraged his predecessor to move to the opposition, accusing Peter O'Neill of trying to undermine his government.
I've been compelled and advised by the Greater Congo caucus that they need to break free from our attachment to the PNC party. Today, I'm just making a call that the PNC party leader, Honourable Peter O'Neill, is no longer required on the government side.
Well, in response, Peter O'Neill's called Mr. Marape's actions a gross insult to the members who voted him into power just a few months ago. He's accused Mr. Marape of, in fact, taking PNG backwards and has criticised many of his policies, including his approach to foreign affairs, for the way he's been dealing with Australia and China. Well, to make sense of all of this dramatic political change in Port Moresby, I spoke with Paul Barker, who's there in the capital. He is the Executive Director of PNG's Institute of National Affairs.
It should be noted that when this government was formed, they did already bring in some members from the opposition, and particularly the current police minister, Brian Cramer. And it must be noted that really it wasn't as clear who was in the government and the opposition benches. There was clearly a level of engagement between the government team and the opposition. And so I think it's not that surprising. I think this is an exercise of consolidation. Clearly there was a pretty uncomfortable mix between members of the former government under O'Neill and the new team. And there were clearly some driving players in this new government team who were keen to be able to oust them. And so clearly it would seem that the new Prime Minister Marape really did feel he needed to sort of consolidate and reconfirm the level of support for the reforms that he was making, and felt that there were players from the old guard, of which he was a member, of course, that were tending to work against his reforms.
Do you think the former Prime Minister, Peter O'Neill, was one of those who was attempting to interfere? Because we have seen now James Marape essentially banish Mr. O'Neill to the opposition benches.
Well, I think he did feel that was a concern, Marape. I think he'd retained not only members from the old government, but also a number of his key officials in some of the key financial and administrative positions in government, who I think the Prime Minister felt maybe were showing stronger loyalties to the old government and were more reporting to them. So I think you may see that some of those senior officials may find that they're on the way out at this point as well. And I think also with major financial difficulties sort of ongoing, and as you've seen in the last days, the government heading in different directions, seeking additional funding, I think he was wanting to consolidate his financial team with some of the players from before who've been through some of this. People like Samakari Murata, who was the Prime Minister in 1999 when the country was virtually bankrupt and they needed to put together a structural adjustment program, effectively bringing together different donor players to try and provide finance, but together with a major reform program. So you've had, over the last weeks, the Prime Minister going out, asking people for advice on how government should be reformed, and some criticism that, yes, he's been doing a lot of talking, a fair amount of listening, but it's now time actually for action. And as we've seen, the budget has been in a bit of a dire situation. A lot of the hangover from last year has been continuing this year. Expenditure from last year that's sort of been undermining this year's budget. And I think that he really did feel that that there was a need to take some stronger action and more consolidated action to address this. And it would need development partners, and it needed perhaps some players who had a bit of an experience in addressing, as you were, dire financial predicaments.
Well, you mentioned there bringing in the expertise of people like Sir Makary Murata, who has now joined as well the government benches, as well as some other former opposition MPs that have been quite outspoken. Do you think there will be more changes or reshuffles to kind of give those sorts of people like Gary Juffa, Alan Bird portfolios?
Well, they've got important roles anyway because they are provincial governors, and I think they're both pretty committed to sort of reforms. Alan Bird has really indicated already that he really wants to drive things forward, and he has a very major funding program for agriculture and development in the East Sepik province. So he may be reluctant to come into the government benches as such, but he's certainly, he and Gary Juffa are pretty outspoken. They're younger leaders, and they do have a major focus on addressing some of those challenges, governance challenges, particularly related to areas like forestry extraction, where clearly PNG has been taken for a ride for a long time by overseas logging companies. I think that they've got some strong ideas there, and strong ideas that relate to customs revenue and some of the overseas business interests that may have been taking advantage of PNG over the years.